Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Are they a better team today? Are the Warriors better? And I'm not even saying better in terms of the context of a playoff appearance or NBA championship. Are they a better team today than they were yesterday?
Well, they have a guy they will use rather than the guy they wouldn't use. So that makes them better. Are they better in relation to the other teams in the West, almost all of whom made at least one kind of player move? I think they probably are now a solid play-in team. I don't see how they end up in the top six.
Well, unless the thing that they traded for today was vibes. Like, I mean, I know that sounds ridiculous. But, you know, the kids insist it's vibes. And the Warriors, when they're at their best, they were a vibe. They really were. I'm not saying that Gary Payton II comes back in and everyone's just like, oh, championship! Walk back in the room. It's not quite that level of a vibe. But he is a player that made this team feel good, play good, look more like itself, and will maybe do that just out there. Just a little reminder of paying attention to defensive details by one or two more guys, I think goes a long way in this team. And that's, I think, what they're really hoping for.
Well, he's a useful piece on a team that hasn't had enough useful pieces. So that's... that right there makes it worthwhile. In terms of the vibe, if it does change, it won't change till Curry comes back. And it certainly sounds like we're talking about minimum the start of March before that happens, which leaves them, I think, with 18 games left. So, you know, they're going to have to ramp up pretty quickly after that. And whatever vibe Payton is bringing has to be replaced by a level of efficiency that the Warriors simply haven't had. And that's a lot to ask of a guy who's going to play eighth guy minutes. Because he's not going to all of a sudden get inserted into the starting lineup or play 30 minutes a game. That's not either his function or his skill set.
And it's not even what they need.
Yeah, but that what they need is one more guy who will give them what they expect to get on a regular basis. And they don't have enough of those.
Well, that's the thing. And I think that there is a level of trusted agent that comes with this acquisition that, you know, not even Sadiq Bey or OG Anunoby or Jared Vanderbilt, you know, could bring. You're bringing those guys in and you're hoping that it fits together. You know, they brought in Otto Porter Jr. They thought, man, we really hope that this piece fits. And it did.
Eventually. It didn't fit right away. It took them a while to adjust to each other. But it did when it mattered.
Is Jamichael Green fitting?
More than he was.
A little bit more than he was. Is Ty Jerome fitting? Dante DiVincenzo, I think, has turned the corner. He's a guy who fits. And this guy, just you add him and he fits. You know that. You know, his next Steve Kerr big meeting won't be his first. It'll be his first of this year. So I think that they're really counting on that to just translate into better basketball. Because that's the crazy thing. The Warriors, I mean, last night was a prime example. They don't need to be much better than they are. They just need to be a little bit better than they are. One or two actual defensive stops per quarter that you might not have gotten. One or two turnovers that you don't cough away, particularly in a big moment that you might have had, but you gave the ball away. Like, hopefully he can provide just a little stability on a bench that guaranteed almost none. None. I think it's a wise move. It's a lot better than 5 second round picks, which, what the hell are those going to do?
Well, it's funny because going back to the Rui Hachimura trade on the 23rd of January, 46 second rounders have moved. So apparently they're now more valuable than they used to be. And they seem to be more valuable in bulk than they used to be. There were four instances in the last couple of days where a team moved 5 second round picks. That's probably three more than you would see in any other draft year going back time immemorial. Second round picks apparently matter now in a way that they didn't used to. But for a team that has finally concluded that it's about the right now more than it is about the two-track future, you need a guy who's got some lines in his face. And that's Peyton. Because, and I will just correct you on one thing, it's not cutting down two turnovers that he's going to do. It's two turnovers he's going to help create against the other team. Because the Warriors are always going to be a high turnover team. It's when they create as many turnovers as they surrender that they become effective. And that goes back to what we've been talking about all year, which is defense. Be better playing defense.
The Lakers got better at the trade deadline. The Phoenix Suns, they got better at the trade deadline. The Denver Nuggets, I think, got a little bit better at the trade deadline. The Grizzlies didn't really do anything. The Sacramento Kings didn't really do anything. The three teams that are sitting in one of the, you don't need to worry about a play-on tournament, that the Warriors really are competing against for a spot in the postseason. The Mavericks, the Suns, and the Clippers all got better. They got an uphill climb in front of them. And giving away games like they gave a game away last night in Portland, no more of that. I mean, it's just no more of that. You are out of time to decide whether or not you're going to be a good and focused basketball team. Obviously, James Wiseman is all out of time with the Golden State Warriors. It was a gamble, Ray. Look, they wanted a unicorn. And he looked like he might be a unicorn. He was a donkey for them.
No, they wanted a unicorn they could mold. And I think that's too high an ask for almost any team. Because he could do a lot of things. But a lot of those things were not things that the Warriors necessarily value at the top of their list. They wanted a guy who could fit into what they do, not reorder what they do. And
it sounds like you're trying to say that the draft pick was just the wrong draft pick from the get-go.
No. What I'm saying is it made sense at the time. I didn't criticize the pick at the time. They had a guy that they thought, oh, my God, he's got all the measurables. Now if we can just make him our kind of measurable guy. And that's where the risk was involved because he had played so little. And we all thought that meant, well, he has no bad habits to break. But he had a vision of himself that didn't coincide with the Warriors' vision. And they never could, for whatever reason, mesh those versions of him. And that's why it became an error. I mean, it was a high-risk move at the time, and everybody said so. Because for all the measurables, he had no discernible resume.
And that's where
the risk was, and they gambled that they could use that to their advantage, and ultimately they could not.
You know when the best time to ignore what was or was not on anyone's resume? And this isn't just in sports. Like, this is in life. Forget about the resume. If you're willing to work that hard, if you're that much of a hard worker, if you are tenacious, if you are a dog, maybe your lack of resume gets overlooked because you bring things to the table that I value more than a fluffed up resume. And unfortunately, that's where the rubber never met the road on James Wiseman either. You know, we've asked people from Memphis, what was the book on Wiseman before he ever even got to Penny Hardaway when he was a high school kid in Memphis? What'd you guys think? A lot of people just said, hey, he was born to play basketball. But I don't know if he really likes basketball. And I think that question, 3 years into his career, completely and fairly persists. And there's a big part of just the star-crossed, never got healthy enough at the right time, in the right moment of time, where a few more minutes that were deemed unavailable at other moments of time might have been deemed more available at those moments in time. He was always hurt in those moments of times, too. He only played 60 games for the Warriors in 3 years. That's it. 60 games. Ray, of the top two picks ever in NBA history to make a debut with the team that drafted them, he played the fourth fewest games ever. Markel Fultz only played 33 games with the Sixers before they moved on. Purvis Ellison was, what did he go from? Never nervous Purvis to, what did Danny Ainge call him? What did Danny Ainge gave him, like, just a perfect nickname because he was always hurt.
Out of service Purvis.
Out of service Purvis. Thank you very much. That's been the best contribution Danny Ainge ever made in the NBA, and I couldn't remember. Out of service Purvis. Purvis Ellison only played 34 games with the Kings before they moved on. Anthony Bennett, who is a massive, massive bust, 52. And here's the thing. Purvis wasn't a bust, and Markel Fultz is at least playing. Anthony Bennett is a disaster. And is he with the Pistons? Is Anthony Bennett with the Pistons?
I don't believe so.
Is he with anyone right now? He's just out of the league, fully. But say, maybe he and James Wiseman can swap war stories about being disappointed second overall picks. But
Bennett is not.
And he was the number one pick in the draft, too.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, those are guys who, you know, didn't have really career-altering moments when they got to their next team, although Purvis Ellison was a good player. It sucks that it didn't work out for Wiseman. I felt so bad for him. Even the last time we asked Steve Kerr about this, like, do they owe it to him to either trade him to go play and have his career somewhere else or see more of what you got? This is from January 21st.
I think that's a fair question. You know, one of the things that I tell James from time to time is I feel bad for him because of the circumstances. He's had a tough go with the injuries. The injuries have definitely set him back. But bottom line is he's a really talented young guy playing on a veteran team. So he's in a situation where he's not getting as many reps and as much playing time as he would in a different set of circumstances. Had he been drafted by a different team, he'd be getting more opportunities for sure. And that's part of his story. That's part of his journey. And what I love about James is he understands that and recognizes it and continues to keep a positive spirit and energy. And he works hard every single day. And he's wonderful to coach. So as I've said many times, I'm a huge fan. And however this plays out, we don't know, but I hope I get to continue to coach him, and I hope that he can develop here and get more opportunities as we go forward.
Very diplomatic answer from Steve Kerr, as you can expect. Ray, maybe the reason why he wasn't playing down the stretch is because they just knew straight up it's we are going to trade him come hell or high water, even if it's only a salary dump for a collection of second rounders. We're doing it, and the last thing we need is him getting hurt in a throwaway game before the deadline, which we didn't really want to play him, but we did. And what do you know? He gets freaking hurt in that. And now we're stuck.
Oh, I'm sure if they had made up their mind yesterday, they would have basically said, they would have told him probably, we got something that might be working for you. So don't plan on playing tonight.
So John Hollinger kind of broke this down a couple days ago. By the way, if you want to know who's really good at predicting what might happen in the NBA trade deadline, today's a good day to read articles from like 4 or 5 days ago. See who was on it. See who was on to what might happen. And I'm not saying you need to be 100% accurate in your predictions of what could happen in a wide open trade deadline where you didn't know who was really going to be a buyer or a seller or whatever. But were you on to the way teams go about conducting business or thinking? And let me tell you, this John Hollinger guy, he was all over this, Ray. John Hollinger said, you know, an unprecedented 10 teams are in the luxury tax this year. Boston, Brooklyn, Dallas, Denver, Golden State, the Clippers, the Lakers, the Bucks, the Sixers, and the Phoenix Suns. That's not all, though. Three other teams, Atlanta, Miami, and New Orleans, aren't in the tax this year, but somehow, some way have already put themselves over the tax line for next year. James Wiseman represents $9.6 million this season and $12.2 million next year, meaning that, you know, teams like San Antonio, Detroit, Utah, Indiana that are so far under the tax, they could have actually traded for him without sending anything back. But such a transaction, like, why would you want to make a deal with anyone where you're getting nothing in return, was, you know, kind of the premise he's working off of there. And he said, well, such a transaction, if you were just to trade him for nothing in return, it would save the Warriors about $51 million in salary and tax this year, an estimated $85 million in salary and tax next year, for a total of $131 million in savings to dump off a guy who rarely plays. So I think that was going to happen no matter what.
Yeah, I don't know if they, I mean, they would trade him for nothing. Yeah, that's true. I mean, just to get some tax relief. And that will annoy people who believe that he didn't get enough of a look. But this is a hard business.
It's a hard business. And here's the thing. And the flexibility that you might have said that this, you know, that they're punting on or not committing to now allows them to have a little bit more flex to future plans. Like, this is not the last season of Warriors basketball. True or false?
False. I think if they don't win it all this year, they're folding.
That's it? They're just going to... Done. All right, bring out the bulldozer, just demolish Chase.
Oh, no, they could turn it into like a gigantic Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah! Who doesn't love a ball pit the size of an NBA arena?
Absolutely. I mean, it would take about 480 million balls, but it'd be worth the go.
I mean, just what you're saving on NBA tax dollars, you could afford all those plastic balls. The whole point is that this isn't the last year the Warriors are going to be doing business. And James Wiseman would add a level of bottom line business to their business that might have prevented them from doing even more business down the road. That's not enough business for my liking that comes out of this today translates into more options in the future. And this is not the last year of Steph Curry.
No, see, that's the other thing, is that if there is a criticism to be made of Joe Lacob and Bob Myers, it's that I think they hurried this two timeline thing into existence. You didn't have to put it that way. You just say, well, this is the part of a transition that's going to come over years. We don't have to start showing you two tracks today. And I think the way that the young guys have been used largely shows that they haven't done that, but they announced it as though it was going to happen. And I think in that way, they got over their skis and people expected, well, how's Moses Moody going to learn if he doesn't get to play? Well, you don't get to play if you don't show that what you've learned. I mean, it literally is keeping the horse in front of the cart. You don't get given minutes on a good team. You have to earn them. And that was the thing that I think a lot of people kept wanting to miss, because they wanted to see the future. They always think every team is aiming towards something else. When the Warriors, almost uniquely, are a team that's where it wants to be now, and they're trying to figure out how to prolong that.
Right.
And your better chance of prolonging that is with the guys that got you there as recently as last year.
This is Rick calling from the East Bay. What do you got, Rick?
Hey, guys. This is my first time calling in.
Sorry.
I've been a season ticket holder for over 20 years. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay. I think the trade today was really a positive move. As we all know, you know, GP2 is a fan favorite. And just like when the coach takes the time out for, you know, the team to regroup, when you bring this guy in, he seems to not only spark the fans, but he sparks the rest of the teammates. And we need more of that right now with our defense. And I think this guy might just be the piece that's missing, because we're close, but not close enough. And I think this could turn into something good.
Well, again, to use a parlance of our times, Rick, and thank you so much for the call. Hopefully he's a vibe. What did the Warriors add at the trade deadline? What did they do? What was their move? Improving the vibe. Maybe that's what Gary Payton II does for the Golden State Warriors. And I'm not saying that James Wiseman was killing the vibe.
He wasn't part. Well, you can't kill what you're not a part of.
Exactly. You cannot help the team if you cannot play basketball on the team. Now, Damon, whose fault is it that he couldn't play basketball? That's a totally legit question, and that's another show, and we are you know, I'm going to try to get to the bottom of that, but I'm going to tell you right now, they put an awful lot of effort into coaching this kid up. An awful lot of effort. With special coaches that they've hired, special assistant coaches who specialized in big men. You know, they brought in the guy who really helped create Nikola Jokic. Just didn't translate. And we'll see what James Wiseman looks like in Detroit. A different situation, more opportunity to play. Is he going to blossom into something that the Warriors a week from now are going to go, my God, why didn't they figure out a way to do something with that, use that? But he's going to be used in such a different way in Detroit than he would be used here. Again, that's maybe the fatal flaw cooked into this thing from the day they went to the store to buy it. He just never really fit who they are.
No, I mean, it was very definitely a gamble. I mean, we've said that enough. And I think they thought that he would pick up what they want from him. And I think one of the worst things that happened to him was that he made his debut on a bad team where he wasn't sort of put into the system from the start. That was essentially a lost year because he was confused by what they were asking him because there weren't a lot of rewards in that season. So I think in a way, he said, well, we need points. We need scoring. And that's not what the Warriors viewed him long term. But all he knew was, but this is what's happening now. And so I think that set him back as much as anything.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.